following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. We are here for episode number 258. Man, yeah, it's funny how these numbers just add up. You know, you blink and it's, I remember when I just started the show, really, when Jeff and I sat down and did episode one. Whenever that was, it was like February of whatever year. I could do the math, but I'm not going to. I'm not smart like that unless I have a calculator in front of me. And I really, well, I do. I have a phone here, but I'm not, it's irrelevant. Let's just put it that way and enjoy this thing for God's sake. Because apparently there's going to be some changes coming to the show. I can't really elaborate, but there's some stuff coming. We're shifting things around, doing something different. I don't know why. I know why. Because we're like, you know, I got on my high horse about some stuff because I wound up putting in a new mic boom thing in here. I've got another laptop in here. It's not enough to have one computer with two screens. Now I've got another one because I could do separate things now, apparently. But that's all part of it. I got keep my workspace in somewhat a neat and orderly fashion. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work out, but that's just what we do. And right now, as I'm sitting here in Studio A, the dog, Duke, is here. He is sitting on his bed looking at me because I closed the door. You see, the immigrant is down the hall doing other things, and she tends to be noisy when she does them, and she'll talk to the cats, and she'll talk to the dogs, and she talks at them in a foreign language because, well, she's the immigrant. And so while she's doing that, I was back here in this office, and I had to close the door. Now Duke is sitting here going, "Why can't I leave?" Because he does that. He'll start in here, and as I get to going and talking into this crazy thing and start doing the show, he doesn't really like the sound of my voice, I guess. I don't know. He seems to be okay with it right now. He's just being silly. So yeah, there that is. It is cold here, from Memphis. It was January, for God's sake. And we actually got a little bit of snow yesterday. Wasn't much of anything. It was just big, fat, wet, flaky snow that, didn't stick to anything. Unless something was kind of in the shade, it just made things just kind of wet and gross. But it did remind me about how people had completely flipped out because today, this afternoon, the day after Snowmageddon 2019, the immigrant and I went to the grocery store. And while we were there, we noticed how in the bread department, all of the loaves of bread were gone, except one particular brand. And that should tell you something, really, because now, you know, that's not the loaf of bread you want. It must either be, well, it's, to be fair, it's more expensive. It's like $3 a loaf. But it's sitting there and people are going, "Nope, I would rather starve than buy that." That's how seriously these people don't take the the snow thing. They hadn't stocked up. The beer department was fairly well wiped out. The bread department was, they were stocking the milk while we were there. So, you know, they got hit up pretty hard from that. And the frozen pizza department was also hit. So there you go. That's now you, plenty of fruits and vegetables, because people they want to eat like, you know, they want to eat like a bunch of frat boys. That's how this works. As long as they've got eggs and milk and they're good to go. And clearly bread, because they bought a shitload of it. They wiped them out. So in the event of some type of a weather emergency here in Memphis, after seeing the aftermath of some said event, you can plainly see what it is that people buy the most of. I'm sure the liquor stores did a roaring trade yesterday too. I suppose, but yeah, and it's nice. It got up to, like, I don't know, 50 degrees today. Now it's dark and it's cold. And as of the taping of this tonight, there is a lunar eclipse. It's the Super Wolf Blood Moon sequel thing deal. It's got a big name, but it's going on tonight. And I think tonight with the clear skies, it'll be cold, but we'll see it. It'll be kind of cool. And then tomorrow, everybody on Facebook will have posted pictures, which are going to be blurry as hell, of, "Hey, it's the eclipse." It could be a street light for all we know. So, who knows? Right. Okay, coming up this time on the program, it's our good friend, Mr. John Namath. He pulled into the parking lot the other night in this enormous van. We'll talk about that van. It is huge. It is so big.
How big is it?
You can stand up in it without having to bend your neck down. I'm 6'3". I could stand up in it just fine. It is really quite the remarkable form of transportation, and he says he loves driving it. We'll talk about that. Plus, you'll hear some music as he performed live in the studio with us, and it was him and Aubrey, his guitar player, and the Radio Memphis House drummer, Willie Hall. It's all coming up next, right after this little brief break. It's just 30 seconds. We'll be right back with John Namath here from Radioland.
Hey, CBD users, you need to know about the GreenManCBD.com. We carry leading national brands at great prices. Brands like Green Roads, pharmacist formulated CBD and hemp oils, Diamond CBD, Relaxed Gummies, Liquid Gold disposable vape kits, and more. You can visit our store in Memphis at the Broom Closet, 546 South Main Street, or order online at thegreenmancbd.com for free shipping in the U.S. on all orders over $50. Enhance your life with CBD and hemp products. Must be 18 years old to purchase CBD products.
Joining us this evening is one of our great friends, and I'm a fan. John Namath is here. Hello, John. How are you, sir?
Hey. All right. Good to be here, everybody.
Last I saw you was, well, last month over at the End of Prohibition thing over at Crosstown Brewery.
Oh,
you
let's made a, you just crashed end that Prohibition thing. Forever, huh?
Yeah, you just crashed that place.
Right never on. Brought to mind.
A little while ago, I happened to be up in the parking lot, and up pulls the SS Namath.
Yeah.
That thing is enormous.
Yeah, right.
I think that's your road rig right there.
That's the road rig, and I like driving it around town. Honestly, it's a great smooth riding machine. It's a Mercedes.
Well, yeah, it's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, it's the only Mercedes I've ever owned.
Does it have like a kitchen and a bathroom, a three room suite back there?
No, no, I don't want
washer
the
washer and dryer, fireplace.
No, don't need the band to get soft. We don't even have a DVD player in it. We've got CDs. We listen to CDs, and we just listen to records and smoke a lot of grass in there and have a good
there
time.
There you go. That's the way Willie just was like, hell yeah, brother, I'm here. When that thing pulled up, I was standing next to Willie, and Willie goes, I wonder if he'll give me a tour of it later. You may not get Willie out of it.
You got it. There ain't much to tour in there, but...
Well, yeah, you're on the road a lot, John, and we appreciate you taking a Sunday evening to come sit down here with us and have some fun. I know you're a busy, busy guy, and the holidays kind of work out for you. Because you just came back from New Orleans yesterday?
Yeah, that was just a vacation. That was the first time away from the kids in 8 years.
Oh, my.
My wife and I, we finally got away.
Well, good. Did you have a good time down there?
I did a lot of sleeping.
Yeah?
Yeah. Seems like,
how do you sleep in New Orleans, for God's sake?
I know. Well, you know, what happens is you get down there and you start by having a meal at this place called the Commander's Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where Emeril and Bobby Flay and, I mean, all these famous chefs got their start at this famous restaurant. And... they have 25-cent martinis. Everything else is expensive, but the martinis are 25 cents.
Oh, damn.
And so a couple of those martinis and...
Roll of quarters and you're there.
A roll of quarters, man. I tell you what. By the time I walked out of there...
Or stumbled out, as it were.
Yeah, stumbled out of there. And I don't know what they put in the turtle soup, but that gave me a buzz, too.
Really?
Yeah.
It was the turtle. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a turtle. So then after that, I was like, well, let's just go back to the hotel for a minute. And then it was just zonked out.
Next thing you know, it's daylight.
Sawn logs, it's morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good, though. Nice little relaxing time here.
Yeah.
Get away out of that night business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm up late with my job all the time, so.
Well, God, yeah. I mean, you're running a gun. How many shows a year are you averaging these days?
I've cut it way back. I think we only did just over 100 shows this last year.
That's about a third of the year there, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, a third of the year, yeah. And so when I get back home, I try to be a dad, you know.
Right, right.
And shift gears and do that kind of thing. And that's a trick.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's a definite trick, you know. And but I got the chemistry figured out.
Yeah, that's good.
How old are your kids?
4 and 8. Oh. Yeah, my daughter Ava, she's 8, and she was born in San Francisco, and when I used to live out there. And then Otis, he's 4, and he was born here in Memphis.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah, they're great kids. They're great kids. They love music. They make up songs all the time.
Uh-oh, you got musicians coming.
Yeah, they make fun of their dad. And
well, that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I appreciate the creativity, and I steal a few rhymes from them.
Yeah, you're sitting there going, well, damn, that's a hell of a line. I'm going to write that down. It's going to wind up in a song.
Oh, yeah, and they have. They have. I don't want to embarrass them right now, so I don't want to tell you what they have said that has gone into the material.
We'll say that off the air. It's
yeah.
Speaking of material, the Feeling Freaky record, I have absolutely adore that record.
Thank you so much.
It is so much fun to listen to. And, of course, the story that went into the production of that thing, just the artwork alone. Yeah. And I still like Mark over here had shot. God, what did y'all shoot, like 50 pickles or something to get that shot?
At least. Yeah, and I made the pickles.
And you did the Kool-Aid pickles yourself.
Yeah, I made the pickles. Yeah, I got the pickles and put them in the Kool-Aid, let them sit in there for a month, and then Mark came
Kool-Aid.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kool-Aid
what
pickles.
What kind of Kool-Aid?
Cherry.
It's just the red.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think we did some blue ones, too. And,
Mark is giggling over there.
Right? What do they taste like?
Oh, they just taste like Kool-Aid and pickles.
Okay.
It's a sweeter pickle.
Yeah, it's a sweeter pickle. So it's like a bread and butter with cherry.
Yeah.
Like a bread and butter pickle, a little sweet, and a cherry. I first had these down in Jackson, Mississippi. I played a blues festival, the Jackson Rhythm and Blues Festival. And I think that might have been about 3 or 4 years ago now. And as I was walking back to the dressing room, there's this line of people for whatever this place is serving, this little food truck. And it was just a food stand. It wasn't even a truck. And I thought, well, if there's a line for something, it means it's got to be good. And so
stands to reason.
So I just thought, I'll just ease upside and just see what they were doing. And there were these giant jars, like 5-gallon jars. Of these enormous pickle, I mean, like they did whole cucumbers. They pickled them with the Kool-Aid. They're from scratch.
Oh my, yeah.
They didn't even cheat these ones. Yeah. And I asked the lady what they were serving because I'd never seen these things. She said she couldn't even believe I'd never had a Kool-Aid pickle.
Honey, you're in the South, baby. Yeah, where are you from?
I guess I've never been that deep in it. Too far.
You got an education, though.
Yeah. And so she gave me one of every flavor.
You were sick as a dog.
Yeah. No, I shared them with everybody and went and watched Macy Gray and Chaka Khan and ate these Kool-Aid pickles and partied, and it was a lot of fun. But boy, the first bite of that Kool-Aid pickle, especially the ones made from scratch,
yeah,
it just shoots that juice right in the back of your mouth. Just pop. Never had that happen before. I think I prefer making the fake ones.
Well, and if memory is serves me right, once you got the right shot,
yes,
and you put this album cover together, and it's gorgeous.
Yes.
It really is. It's stark.
Yeah.
So you go to upload this thing. I think it was to iTunes, and didn't they censor it? Or
they censored it.
They said no.
Yeah. They would not.
They wouldn't let you use the artwork.
The
right.
The fact that there's this gigantic red pickle
on a white background.
On a white background, and the title's Feeling Freaky. You know, I mean,
they're not mutually exclusive, though.
I know. I mean, what's the problem, America?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a Kool-Aid pickle, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get it, and I think people try to make some big deal over it or something like that, but it's just as simple and honest as it is.
Yeah.
And I remember I was in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I was doing it was a radio performance over there, and they had invited like all the 10-year-olds from around the area to the show.
Oh yeah.
And I figured my music, there's nothing dirty in it.
No.
No, unless you want to look for that.
You shoot it right over their heads.
Yeah, shoot it right over the head. And so, but the lady that was doing the show, she was like, "Exactly. What do you mean by feeling freaky?"
Oh, my God.
And I said, "Well, it's whatever you want it to be."
Yeah, I'll leave that to your interpretation. Yeah.
Yeah, because she was really trying to make something more out of it. And it's like, as freaky as you want to be.
Right.
You know, the songs will go where you want them to go, or they won't go there at all.
Well, sure. You know? And your music has always been about having a good time, and it is open to any type of interpretation.
Suitable for children, so I don't know why. And Facebook had a problem with the album cover, too. They would not They would not allow it.
Well, that didn't really shock me now that I think about it.
And then we petitioned it, and then they said they'd allow it, but they wouldn't let me sell it on the Facebook store. And actually, a couple years later, now they allow it.
Really?
Yeah, they've decided it's just, you know, maybe
it's harmless fun. Yeah.
Yeah, America's loosening up. Well, I mean, with the president we have now,
Well,
come on, really?
Well, I tell you, back to that record though. It is, like I said, it's a lot of fun. I hope you're having a lot of success with it. It's 2 years now?
Yeah,
about 2 years old.
Yep. I cut it, and I wanted to just get it out, so I did. I did a release where I just sold it off the stage before I put it out.
Oh, yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, that worked out great. Because with the whole streaming and the downloads, it's mainly the streaming.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll make your money back off putting the album with streaming, but you're not going to make the money like you used to on an album. And it's just, it just hurts.
Yeah, people are, I don't know if they're shying away from the tangible. You know, the holding the disc or the LP, or they just the convenience of just dialing it up on the phone and plugging my earbuds in and away I go.
Both of those factors, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they can just join a club, you know, $10, and they can hear whatever they want to hear. And I mean, that's okay, but at least buy the album on the show.
Oh yeah.
To support the band.
Oh, well, and buy the tickets and the merch, the T-shirts and stuff. Yeah. Go have the full experience.
Yeah, exactly. I go on these festivals now, especially like a lot of the young bands. They don't even put CDs or LPs out to sell on these festivals. They just sell T-shirts.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, that's a big digger on their income. I mean, I didn't even know if you were a young band and you were trying to make it, you know, in today's market.
Are you selling a lot of the records out on the road?
Huh? I still do, yeah.
Yeah.
But fortunately, my audience, you know, I've got people that are like 50 to 70 as well.
Yeah.
In the audience, and they buy them, and they buy the CDs.
Sure.
And some of the vinyl, and then you have all the 20, 30, 40 somethings that buy the vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah,
vinyl's a big thing.
Yeah,
that and download cards.
Download cards. Yeah, I put download cards in all the vinyl, and so that works out great. Yeah, I dig it.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean it's I'm still in business. You
well, good nice work if you can get it.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
How many CDs have you done?
Oh.
It was like 25, 30, something like that.
Obviously. Let's see here. Yeah, 1997 was my first release, so and that was a live record. So I guess I've been making records for 21 years now.
That's amazing.
So see here. Harmonica Frenzy in 97, and then Jack of Harps in 2003, Come and Get It in 2004, and then Magic Touch in 2007. Love Me Tonight in 2008, Name the Day in 2010, Soul Live and Blues Live in 2012, my first record in Memphis, Grease in 2013.
Great record. Yes. Yeah, I love that record. Yeah.
Feeling Freaky. Yeah. I'm at 10 10 records.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And that's not including, 11, because I have this other band, the Love Light Orchestra, which is an orchestra here in town.
Everybody loves Love Light.
That's 11. Yes. That's 11 records. And then those are just my own records. Then all the Elvin Bishop records. I did four or five Elvin Bishop records.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I've been at it a while. It's been fun.
It's just about time for another record, too.
So,
isn't it?
So what,
it is
what,
so time, and I've got the material building up.
What made you decide to move back here?
Well, a lot of reasons. One, I've always loved the city, and I always loved the culture that comes out of the city. I mean, when I look back at when I was a kid, when I was like from 10 until 18, for about 8 years, the music that I was collecting, most of the music was Memphis-based music.
All right, yeah.
And if they weren't artists from Memphis, they were artists that cut their records in Memphis.
Was it right. Stax?
Everything from Sun. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was into Howlin' Wolf, and a lot of Howlin' Wolf, and I was into Ike Turner, and I loved Elvis, and I love Roy Orbison, and I like bands like ZZ Top. I was big fans of ZZ Top, and I liked the Fabulous Thunderbirds and Jimmy Vaughn,
Kim Wilson,
yeah.
What a great harp guy too,
blues rock guys. And then I loved all the soul guys too. I loved James Carr and Al Green, and I liked. I was really a big fan of this guy Junior Wells.
Oh my God! Yes.
Ooh,
yeah. And so I didn't know.
Wasn't he Al Green's cousin?
I don't know. I think
he's related to him.
I don't know much about his history, honestly. Other than. When I moved to Memphis, people told me that he was from West Memphis.
Hartley.
Yeah, and he was born in Memphis, and that he moved to Chicago because he was such a great harmonica player.
He was.
And he moved to Chicago, and he got Little Walter's spot in Muddy Waters' band.
Wow.
And Little Walter was the greatest harmonica player on the planet and the biggest star playing harmonica. And so they found this young man to take his spot.
Yeah. Wow.
And Little Walter used to hang out here all the time in Memphis. And so there was all this music that I was fan of. A lot of it had a piece of Memphis in all of it.
So what about James Cotton? Was he one of
the... Oh, I love James Cotton, yeah. Too. Absolutely. So I was a big fan of James Cotton, Little Milton as well. Jackie Bernstein, like a lot of the Sun record stuff. I was a huge O.V. Wright fan, and Otis Clay.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And all the high records.
So it's a pretty diverse breadth of music styles.
All the right stuff.
Yeah. You know what it was is I really enjoyed the bands. Not only did I love the artists that were fronting the bands, but the bands, the way they played, they were fresh. It was exciting. It was that unusual collision of black gospel and white gospel and blues, you know, Delta blues and all the Appalachian kind of music and things like that.
A little bit of the soul, the blue-eyed soul that came in.
The blue-eyed soul. Everything was permeating together. And I really like this band called the Memphis Boys. Come to find out that I was a big fan of Waylon Jennings, and these Memphis Boys played on the... and I could tell that the bands were like... They had connections.
You could hear it.
I could hear it.
Yeah.
It's like they... If it wasn't always the same band, it was guys that worked together all the time with other people at cutting records. Like Bobby Womack, big fan of Bobby Womack.
Yeah.
And then I could hear like, wow, what's you know, like Neil Diamond. I was like, man, this band is like so familiar. All this music has 6 degrees of separation.
And you look at the liner notes and go, oh, I know these names.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And a huge fan of all the Stax stuff. I was a big fan of William Bell. His voice, his soul was a soul that I liked to sing quite a bit, especially when I was first getting into singing soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved his songs like You Don't Miss Your Water. I would sing this song, Eloise, because my mom's name was Eloise, is Eloise. And any other way. And I loved all the Booker T and the MGs music.
Well, you got a Stax alum in here tonight that's going to sit on the screen.
We got a Stax, yep. We got Willie Hall.
We got Willie Hall. Here. He came down tonight.
Yes, this is going to be fantastic.
Willie's in the house.
Willie's in the house.
Yep.
And who's your guitar player?
This guy's name's Aubrey McCready.
Aubrey McCready.
Yeah. And we were doing a month's worth of gigs at the Rail Garden on Thursdays. And I was thinking about just inviting some different people down that I'd never played with, and people didn't know they were off of my radar, and younger kids and folks like that. And my guitar player said, well, how about this Aubrey McCready guy? And I'm like, yeah, man, call him, have him come on down. Gave him some songs to learn. Man, he just came in and just nailed it.
We watched him learn one just before we got on the air.
He's fast.
He's fast. He's fast.
And that's what I've always loved about, like, the Memphis musicians in general.
Yeah.
Is that they're fast. The way they're brought up to learn songs.
Right.
You know, they listen to the song itself. They listen to the melody, and the melody is going to tell them where the chords are going and the harmony options that they have. It's pretty incredible. Working with the Bo Keys was a great honor.
Awesome.
Yeah, those guys were super, super fast.
Well, Scott Bomar is so much fun. Yeah, he's got a great ear for this stuff.
He does. And his drummer, Howard Grimes.
Oh, my God, Howard. Are you kidding?
Tonight, working with Willie and the stuff that I've done with Howard, this is really cool because I love Memphis drummers. And Al Jackson Jr.
was one of my
all-time favorite guys, too.
Yeah.
So
never got a chance
to work with him, but work with so many bands that have been influenced by him. But now to have an opportunity to play with Willie and have worked with Howard Grimes, man, blessed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Happy New Year.
It's a good way to start off 2019 for
sure.
Yes,
sir.
John Namath is here. Aubrey is here. Willie Hall is here. We're about ready to make some music here.
Yeah, let's make some music.
You want to make a little bit of noise?
Yeah, Willie,
you want to sit in on the drums on this?
You want to play some drums on this, Willie?
What are you thinking? What do you want to do?
Aubrey's doing this tune, and I'm going to sing it. It's the Walkin' Blues by Robert Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Little Robert Johnson.
Yeah, and I haven't done this song since I was 16 years old at the Student
Really?
Union Hall at Boise State University.
You know, Robert Johnson stuff translates pretty well to the modern era. You know, look at the Led Zeppelin's first record, of course, but and it's been a running gag around here that we always referred to that as a blues cover record.
Yeah.
But to this day, you hear this stuff that he did.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like Eric Hughes, you know, Eric.
Yes.
When he plays the original Robert Johnson vibe, that's about as close as you can get to what it would have looked like to see a guy do that.
Yes.
But to hear that stuff translated into the modern era with new instrumentation and new vibe, you're about to blow harp on this tune.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool to see it really grow like that.
Yeah, this is a really special artist. There's certain artists that are they belong to the world.
Yeah.
So when they create their music, the whole world will respect their music.
Sure.
And understand it. And like his music went to England, and
it was rediscovered by Clapton. And
yeah.
And look at the whole industry that was created, that British blues scene, just off of those stuff out of Mississippi.
Exactly.
You know, it's crazy.
Yes.
Mind-boggling. You have to wonder when you hear those stories about Robert Johnson, if there's somewhere in a vault somewhere, there's a stack of recordings that has yet to see the light of day from that era.
They've been talking about how the music that you hear, the Robert Johnson music, was actually in lower keys and slower.
Oh, yeah.
And they sped it up to make it more palatable for every audience.
I've heard corrected versions of some of his stuff, and it's creepy.
Yeah.
I have one here. I may play it later.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a corrected version of Terraplane Blues.
Oh, okay, good.
And when you hear it, it sounds more like two guitars being played.
Yeah.
And his voice sounds that it's really haunting, and it's...
I think it was Keith Richards who, when he heard that song, he said, well, who's the other musician?
Yeah, who else is playing on that? And we're like, no, it's just one guy.
Yeah.
who made a deal with the devil to make it work.
Oh, you all got to make a deal with the devil sometime.
Right, we all got to dance with the devil, as it were. Well, then, how about a little bit of Robert Johnson there all for right, me, John? Man. What do you got?
Go ahead, Aubrey. Yeah, woke up this morning, look around for my shoes. Oh, Lord, I got those walking blues. Well, I woke up this morning, look around for my shoes. Yeah, and by that I got those mean old walking blues. Lord, I feel like blowing my lonesome horn. Woke up this morning and my sweet Jackie was gone. I feel like blowing my old lonesome horn. Yeah, I woke up this morning and my sweet Jackie's gone. Sweet Jackie's gone. Tell me the word blues ain't bad. Oh, I tell you people, it's the worst feeling I ever had. People tell me the word blues ain't bad. An Elgin movement from head to a toe, cashing on a dollar everywhere she goes. Got an Elgin movement from a head to a toe. Oh yeah, and now she cashing on a dollar everywhere she goes.
Mercy sakes. There it is. Oh, that is awesome.
That was a lot of fun.
John, I don't know where you dug up Aubrey from, but you'd be a fool to let him go.
I know. He's getting
that's,
in the band.
That's some incredible plan you've got over there, man.
We're going to do a couple gigs. We're going to play People's Pool Hall down on Beale Street on January 16th.
17.
17. January 17th, folks. January 17th.
Right ahead of the IBC.
Yeah. Yes, right ahead of the IBC. And then we have another show. This young gal, Tiffany Harmon.
Yeah, I know Tiffany. Yeah.
She's
lovely.
She's putting on an acoustic showcase show at the Ghost River.
South Main there at Crump, I think.
March 3rd, the day before Aubrey's birthday.
Oh, there go. Yeah, happy birthday.
Sure. Thanks, man.
Celebrate your birthday in a brewery, man. What could go wrong?
Yeah, right.
I just had one myself, and it's, I celebrated with a bottle of whiskey, but that's a whole different story.
Well, we should celebrate birthdays together, man. Mine's March 10th.
Really?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Make it a birthday show. Have some fun with it.
Anybody with March birthdays in here?
Everybody in my family, if they're male.
Really? What were your parents doing? Jesus.
All March.
Huh? When's your birthday?
And I'm in August.
August? Okay, great. And when's your birthday?
January 3rd.
January 3rd.
Wow. Yeah, just the other day.
Just missed your birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, how about you, Mark? When's your birthday? Yeah,
November 22nd.
November 22nd. Oh, Sagittarius, like my daughter.
Yeah.
Look at. How about you, Willie? When's your birthday?
Early August.
Early August.
Early August.
Me and Leo.
Yep.
Leo. The Leo that
is.
Yeah.
That's
great.
I've got that corrected Terraplane Blues. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's play it.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Check this out. This is wild.
I'm gonna get deep in this connection. Ooh, love,
ain't gonna tell you that we just lost. Every time I turn on your star, and your father's a guilty part.
How about that? There it is. I
love that. Well, you know,
you could really hear his voice do pretty remarkable stuff that he was doing in that day.
Yeah, he could get that outer body experience while he was, you know, performing his music, you know, and deep, you know. I mean, talk about his sphere of influence.
That song comes in at 3:42. So
they had to juice it up.
They had to juice it up a bit because, you know, all the other stuff was, you know, they were like punk records, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, you know.
Yeah. And to fit it all, had to fit on a 45.
Yeah. When you were coming up as a harp player, did you spend a lot of time listening to records and playing along with the records? Is that how you learned, or did you have a teacher?
Man, there was a guy that, after I'd been playing for a little while, there was a guy that showed me a few things on how to play the harmonica. But I'd already established my, like, a lot of my bag playing the harmonica.
Yeah.
And I learned to play, like, I had a piano, but I didn't know I could bend on the harmonica. I didn't know there was, like, I mean, who would know that's there?
So, yeah, you could take a pitch and then go sharp or flat with it, right? Yeah,
and I could, if I hit the harp a little hard, I could tell that I was bending a pitch. But those low notes were, like, really mysterious, like those kind of bends.
Right.
Oh, the technique of how to get that is really unusual. So I learned to play, like, I learned to play without
nothing
bends.
Nothing wrong with that.
I learned to play blues, and it leaned very minor, and I was always confused how I was going to play major and get the blue notes at the same time. And I just I sat down at the piano and just kind of winked on the notes till they started dropping.
Started making sense.
Yeah. And so then I tuned my harp and my ear to the piano. And there was a substitute teacher that showed up at my school. And he just played this talent show out of the blue. And I played this talent show as well. And I didn't play harmonica on it. And I asked the guy, I was like, man, how do you do that? And he showed me a few ways how to get those bends. And then I sat down with my guitar player, and I'm like, man, does this sound right? Does this sound right? And we got to figure it out. But, man, nobody played blues where I lived. I mean, it was like, even he was a bluegrass player, the guy that showed me tricks. So he played, like, folk music.
Right.
And so... But then I took all my other licks that I had learned before I learned to bend, and I just moved those into playing the standard style of blues, and kind of developed my own style of playing.
So I know guitar players carry a lot of guitars with mm-hmm. them, but and as you have here, you have like 15 harmonicas. So explain to me in the audience, like, what is so different about, like, all the why do you have so many harmonicas that you take with you?
Because the ladies love it.
The ladies love to.
And so you can do so much with that one. So what is it that you can do other than, I mean, why? I still don't get, like, why there are so many.
They're just in different tunings. They're in different
keys.
This big one right here.
Like Stevie Wonder kind of used to play a big
He plays the big one. And the big one's really cool. Because
you can play it in any key, right?
Yeah, I hear the difference.
Yeah. And it's like a piano in your mouth.
So every one of them is like that.
All the opportunities,
but
you
can't. Have you ever had, like, maybe D-Carp or somebody, like, make you one or...
No,
like,
fortunately, the good people at Hohner Harmonicas have always taken very good care of me. And
Hohner's been around a long time. They're great people.
It's the sound. Hohner's the sound. Buy Hohner Harmonicas because they really are the best. They really are the best. And I love Deke. He does a great job, and he brings broken harmonicas back to life. And, hey, they're expensive. When I first started playing, it was $6 for a harmonica. I chose playing harmonica because I played piano and couldn't afford a keyboard. An electric.
Little did you know.
Yeah. Little did I know.
How many of these do I have? How much have I spent? Yeah.
And I got lucky because there was a pawn shop in town. I wouldn't have continued playing the harmonica if there wasn't this pawn shop that used harmonicas and shaker eggs to lure people into buy stuff or pawn their stuff.
Yeah.
This guy was a genius.
That's smart, yeah.
Yeah. And that's so smart. It's interesting. I couldn't afford the keyboard, and there was a pawn shop that sold them cheap. But the first harmonica I bought was, there was a music store, and they couldn't move. They weren't really moving these harmonicas, and I got a gold marine band.
Oh, wow.
I got my first harmonica was a gold marine band, and it was really extra stiff. So to like learn to bend it, it was really extra work. But things just worked out. I guess I've been a recipient of accidental success.
How many times do you have to replace your harps though? Do you ever blow through them?
I would think because you're
a loud player, but
I do blow through them. I learned over the years it's just technique that keeps them from. You don't have to give it that much. It's just like singing.
So do you like, because I noticed, like, some people say, like, you should soak them and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, you can't soak them.
It's not going to do any good.
Yeah, you know, we're the really old ones that were made out of.
Was it bamboo reed that they used to have?
I don't know what it was. It was some sort of real like wood that here's the thing, you can spit all over them and saliva won't make them swell, but you put them in water and they'll just blow up and then they'll just rip your tongue and
oh wow
your lips
that's
apart
amazing.
Wow.
Another thing is since I didn't have anyone to teach me harmonica, I don't play like hardly anybody else. When I play my harmonica, I curl my tongue,
yeah,
and I blow through the curled tongue like a straw.
That makes sense.
I thought that's how we were supposed to do it, yeah. Actually.
That's why the ladies love to hear John Namath play the harmonica.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they know that tongue is doing something in there.
Hate to see me go.
before a break, fellas, how about another tune?
Yeah, let's play a song, yeah.
Yeah, let's play a tune, then we'll hit the news and move along.
Yeah, let's...
some high notes, baby.
Yeah, want some high notes? It's cool, let's play Shuffle, Willie. You want to play Shuffle with me? All right, Aubrey. Country boy, key A.
No country boy. I know that one.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote this song when I was moving from Idaho to California.
Idaho.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh man, that's the middle of nowhere out there.
Just potatoes and potato farmers.
Yeah, potatoes and potato farmers. Yeah. Thank God my dad had a still in the basement.
There you go. Well, you got to do something with all those potatoes that don't go to market.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it.
I'm a country boy, and I'm living at the Golden Gate. Yes, I'm a country boy, and I'm living at the Golden Gate. In the great big land of California, whoo, that is where I stake my claim. My sweet angel, she left her country home for the bright lights of the city. I couldn't let my baby go alone. Couldn't let my baby go alone. Thank you. makes my baby happy, and I want to give my baby all my joy. Yes, I do. Like this.
The high notes and everything there.
Love it.
He went through seven harmonicas in that one tune. It was big, man. It was big.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
John Namath is here in the studio. John, thank you so very much for giving up on your Sunday night.
Thank you.
Coming on down and hanging out with
I'm
us.
I'm not giving up anything.
Unless you shouldn't.
I'm having myself one of those real good times. Thank you so much.
You are such a busy guy, and I'm really thrilled for you because I know you have worked so hard over the years and putting the, you know, just your blues thing together, and then you got the Love Light Orchestra. We can't not talk about that because that was a hell of a show that you guys did over at Lafayette's not long ago. It was back in the spring, I think it was.
After you forget about me, tell me who will the next fool be. I know. There's things about you he'd like to know. This is Charlie Rich's studio.
Yeah,
right?
This is it. Yeah.
Wow.
We're in a real studio here, folks.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is great. And Twilight Studios?
It was Twilight. It was Leeway for a while with Chris Lee and Brad Dunn. Pete Matthews had it for a bit. Did Evanescence down here? There were, I think, all told, maybe three or four records that charted out of this space, you know, over the years.
Wow.
It started in, I think it was 64, 65. The building was erected in 63.
If you tune yourself in, there are spirits here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That was a Charlie Rich song that Bobby Blue Bland had cut.
Yeah.
That band, the Love Light Band, it's so much fun. And it's just, it's one of the easiest bands I've ever
really
slipped into.
So when are y'all going
to
do it next?
March 9th at the B side.
What's the B side?
The B side is Brad, he's the guy that used to tend bar at the Buccaneer and DKDC. Now he owns a place, and
so
it's called the B side, and it's at the Minglewood Hall.
It's in the Minglewood Hall. Club.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that'll be fun.
March 9th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, March 9th. That's the day before my birthday.
Oh, I was going to say.
We'll be celebrating the John Namath birthday at the B side.
We have to, yes.
And that's with the Love Light Orchestra?
Yes.
Yeah. How many's in that act?
10.
That's a big band.
Yeah, it's a big band. We've got baritone, tenor, and bone, and then we have two trumpets, and piano, guitar, and bass and drums.
Is that all?
That's it. And, you know,
the Mississippi Mass Choir might show up a little bit later on. And
you know, I just love how you got five guys responsible for one chord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that fucking horn section.
Yeah.
It is powerful. It is amazing. It is all that.
There's something to be said about the use of horns in Memphis music.
They've worked together forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's the Memphis sound. It's the horns,
and these guys are students of the Memphis sound.
Or you know, and you throw in like that, like this Hammond that we have out here. That there's a very distinct sound about that Hammond organ, you know. And then you got the pocket drummers, you know, guys like Willie and Howard Grimes that find that spot. Was it that Howard used to say? He said Willie Mitchell once told him. He said, "Look, son, all you got to do is sit back there and look stupid." Don't put on any show, but that's because you are the rhythm section. Yeah. You are it. You and that bass player are lockstep in this whole tune. You know, he said, don't worry about pushing it because we all going to get there at the end at the same time.
Man, I love great drummers. I've been so fortunate. I've got to work with a lot of great drummers in my life, and like working with Willie Hall tonight.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean this is a huge experience for me. And it's very exciting.
Willie also used to make a comeback.
Yeah, Willie's.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a comeback. He never went away.
Oh, yeah. I took a little 4-year hiatus, you know.
It happens. Yeah. But, you know, he's working. Yeah. He just told me upstairs he's working on some new material. And, you know.
We got to get a microphone over there.
Or you just come step up
I'm
over
good.
Here.
I'm good. I'm at home, man.
He's at home. This is he lives here.
Can you get Willie talking? You don't want to do that at this point.
I've been fortunate enough to be down here when Willie was working on a session or two, right? And listen to these other musicians that, you know, they'll say, I can't believe I worked with him on this, you know, because it. Willie adds such a dimension to the sound, you know, because he is Memphis music. I mean, think of it. This guy was a sax.
Yeah.
You know, this is Mr. Isaac Hayes' drummer for a long time.
There's a hole you could drive a truck through it. Like when you're playing drums, I feel there's so much space and time.
At this point in time, really, it's Willie Hall and Harold Grimes. Howard.
What did you say, Neil? Yeah, Howard.
And Al Jackson.
Al Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who are some of your favorites?
I go back to Elvin Bishop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, he played with Elvin. Huh? You were on Elvin Bishop?
Yeah, I played on some Elvin Bishop records, yeah.
Man, that was my boy, man.
Yeah?
Wait a minute, Elvin Bishop or Elvin
Hayes? Elvin Jones? Elvin Hayes?
Which was the drummer?
Are we talking about Elvin Bishop, the guy that wrote Fooled Around and Fell in Love? Or are we talking about
it? I knew Elvin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's Elvin Jones. Elvin Jones.
Elvin Jones.
Yeah. Worked with the Miles Davis.
That's who kicked me off then. I bought a CD. Actually, it was a book combination CD.
Come over here, Willie.
Instructional book.
He's all right. Well, he was also a big Beatle fan, too, as an answer.
Elvin Jones.
Yeah.
Elvin Jones. He's great. Drummer.
And, of course, you cannot discount the fact that and at least in my personal opinion, he was the backbone, I think, of one of the greatest bands that ever played, and that was the Blues Brothers.
Oh,
That was a hell of a band.
I sold millions of records.
Yeah, it was a good band.
That's a big sell.
You go back and you look at that film and you go, God damn, that happened.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big deal.
They were tight.
And to see him live, I saw him once.
Yeah, I did too. And
it's so Matt Guitar Murphy electric. Too. And, I mean, it's 10 times better than you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
live.
Yeah, you had Cropper and Duck Dunn in the midst of that. I mean, that was part of Booker T and the MGs, you know. And of course, Willie played with Booker T for a while. I think you did one album with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's great.
You know, and he's He's here. He's for your use if you'd like. You know.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
You want to do a tune?
Yeah.
What do you got? What do you want to do?
Let's do this song, Said Too Much. It's a song that...
Is that on the Feeling Freaky record?
No, it's on...
I haven't played any Feeling Freaky stuff tonight because I didn't know what you were going to play.
On this live record.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's on the Name the Day record. And it's one of the songs... Aubrey learned and played with me down at the Rail Garden in December.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
You did a thing at Laughlin Yard, too, didn't you? That's the same thing.
Yeah. Kind of. That's neat, folks.
Neat deal downtown.
I love that. Yeah, I love that Laughlin Yard. I think we might do some stuff again there. It's a great place.
Do you handle all your own booking?
No.
You're a wise man.
Yeah. I am a wise
You're
man.
You're a wise man.
All right, let's go ahead and hit it, man. I can see the look in the poor girl's eyes as the tears well up. I know she can sympathize. Oh, yes, she can. Now she says to herself, ooh, this man needs too much repair. That's more love. All in this woman is willing to share. Have mercy. See, I said too much. Stayed too long. Now she knows. Said song, said too much. Now she gone. Oh yeah. Yeah, man. Somebody to ease my worried mind.
my worried mind. See, I said too much, stayed too long. Now she knows my sad song. I said too much. Oh, yeah. Now she is gone.
That's nice. That's nice. You find that your music from the past matures a little bit as time goes on, or does it kind of stay the same?
Sometimes it just goes back to some other place.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't never figure it out. Yeah. I'm sure we have a good time doing it.
Oh no, that's awesome. That's
you don't have to figure it out.
Well, and that's the beauty of it is that when people go and see you perform. You are genuinely having a good time on that stage. Oh. And when you're having fun, the audience is going to naturally just kind of fall in right behind you with that.
I like the fact that the gigs, you know, the band, you know, their personalities can live out in the music, you know, in the day-to-day, you know. We all get together and we all make great music.
No drama, no bullshit, right?
Right. Well, I'm sure there's some of that, you know. But
I'm just happy to be sitting here next to him and hearing this live.
Yeah. Well, I know we're going to have to fetch you a fainting couch here before long. You got a little worked up there. I said, oh my damn.
I wrote that song years ago, we do it all the time. It's just part of the set, and it's cool. And when I got the band, they all sing great harmonies. And, those harmonies are really super cool.
But more special to me is in this kind of a setting.
Yeah.
Where it's just you three.
I love it, how you can scale it in.
Well, there's about 125,000 people out there.
I guess I try to write songs that could be either just sung by somebody without the band, or you can start adding different things, you know. You have the guitar and drums. And
so do you play guitar and do the stands? Oh
man, I'm the world's worst guitar player, and I stay away from that instrument. You know,
that's that whole knowing when to stay in your lane.
Yeah, stay in your lane. Yeah, I saw that on a tattoo commercial. Yeah, stay in your lane, bro.
Stay in your lane, bro.
Yeah,
you know. The stage ain't big enough for all this mess.
I do love Jimmy Reed.
Oh, my God, yes.
Country blues.
What's that one I got here?
Sure.
Yeah, you want to do a little Jimmy? Hell yeah.
Jimmy Reed?
Yeah, Jimmy Reed.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Hey, let's do Big Boss Man.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know that one? Like a real, here you go.
You want it? Do you need to hear any of it? Because I got it. I think you got it. You don't need me.
We got our own version of that.
There it is. Yes, sir.
Boss man, don't you hear me when I call? Big boss man, don't you hear me when I call? Hey, you ain't so big, you just tall and that's all. I know you don't love me.
what you like the way my music sounds. My music sounds. Yeah, come on.
Aubrey over here, because you know, I tell you what, there's gonna be there's bands up there listening right now.
You can sell that anywhere. I love that.
You could bottle it and sell it, and there's a thing right there.
Man.
There's musicians all over the place listening to you, going, "Yeah, I want him. Yeah, I'm gonna pick his ass up." Yeah.
Keep it fresh.
Keep it.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I couldn't be more happy than right here, right now, listening to you guys. It's amazing.
Every year is a blessing.
Every year, another trip around the sun. Oh, we just keep
man,
on going.
Can't beat it.
Can't beat it. You know, I used to.
Stephen Britton did that song.
Yeah. That. You know, when I was about. I guess we could all relate. When I was about 35 or 40, you know, you get like a sore or a bruise or something. You go, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
Now you get it and you go, okay, this is how it ends.
It's just going to get weaker and weaker.
Yeah, and I'm just, God, I got the Ebola. I'm done, you know. But you find that you, when you have things like music in your life,
yeah,
that you can really connect with that artist with, you know, I'm talking from a listener standpoint.
Yes.
That your life gets a lot better. It really does. And I know with your audiences love you. They really do.
I've
watched them go crazy over
you. I have fun with the folks that like to watch the band. I think, you know, I mean, this music is so cool, you know.
You feed off that audience, though.
The whole, you know, blues is such an amazing, amazing music. I mean, it's changed the world.
It's a religion.
It's changed the entire world.
Careful, that's the devil's music we're talking about.
John,
Neil
Boland, he goes, "Oh man, I love John's voice.
Could
they from Australia?"
Oh, right on.
Yeah, the Australians are in. Yeah.
Melbourne, Australia. Yeah. Oh,
listening right now.
Man, I worked with a band from Melbourne. They backed me up in Thailand.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, man, those guys were a lot of fun. Man.
Well, it's Thailand. How could you not have fun?
Well, these guys were taking full advantage. I got to just tell you about this one
was
guy.
Was this a Thailand Blues Festival I never heard of?
I was. I played like 45 minutes a night, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
At a private house on a private beach. I didn't even want a private house on a private beach. You know, it's like it was too lonesome, man. There's more excitement out there, man. I mean, we're talking Thailand. I mean, that place is no holds barred all the time. Anything you want,
Willie. You've been to Thailand, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think when we get into the break, you need to tell up your Thailand story.
Well, what happens in Thailand stays in Thailand.
Not necessarily. There's some fun. There's some fun stuff. Yeah. Well, John, have you thought about getting, you know, not just on the road, but getting out there more internationally? I mean, has it been a while since you've done Europe or?
Going to Europe this month. I'm going to France and Switzerland and.
Well, they love us over there, so yeah.
Denmark.
Oh my God! Yeah, you'll do well.
Yeah. I like it over there. Yeah, they're.
How long are you going to be
going? Like 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah. Bunch of one-night stands, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Get out.
Bunch of one-night stands for 3 weeks?
Yeah. Bunch of one-night stands. Yeah, those. I really miss those gigs that you could, like, stay in one spot for, like, you know, 5 days. Yeah.
Right.
Man, that was the best. Yeah. Especially because you learn to feel the room.
Yeah.
And the band gets to hook into, like, something really super special.
And then there are some, like, in early Vegas, I'm talking 70s, that... You're there for 31 days.
Oh, man, that'd be amazing.
It becomes a drag, you know.
Enough.
31 you know, days.
You get tired. You get tired, man. You get burnt out. You're doing three shows a day, four on the weekend, or two a day, three on the weekend.
You're falling asleep in the room and late for your gig.
Yeah. Yeah.
The food
you heard me, Willie.
Yeah, that kind of...
So it goes both ways.
Okay.
You got to have good food.
One man's junk is another man's, what is it?
Treasure, I guess.
He's got a great tour coming.
Yeah, I'm looking at your tour right now.
I got burned out on it, man. They dropped me off by helicopter in so many spots.
I'm looking at your tour.
Out on all of it.
Man, this would make a great story for a song.
Yeah, Thailand, man. I've been to Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, you got to talk about being dropped out of a helicopter.
Yeah.
January 24th, that's 7 cool. Night to Blues at San Andre.
What's going on?
That's you. January 25th, Le Tremplin. In Beaumont.
Get it all on video, my
The 26th, the Eden District Blues.
It's true. It's true.
You were,
you know, like searching for, you know, like all the old soul, like, you know. I mean, do you have some,
that's
like
a good setup,
really?
Yeah.
You have like extra footage that maybe people haven't seen, like the barcades and.
Man,
and
I had some stuff actually on reel to reel, a little 8mm or something. Put somewhere, dry it out, acetate, destroy it.
No, oh, but
I know some people that's got some early Overton Park shell. That's a place here, a venue here.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It's called the Levitt Shell now, but it's, you know, it's just a venue here.
I love it.
Dates back to 69.
Yeah, I got to play there a couple times.
They had a country music blues festival.
Yeah, they did. Country Blues. Yeah,
the back Country in the... Blues Festival?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. It was back in the 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it was.
Yeah. It's a... It was...
That's fucking cool.
Mudboy and the Neutrons.
But no, I don't
have great.
They freaked everybody out.
Yeah.
They did. They freaked everybody out. The whole festival started with a ball of hash to fund the thing, and it turned into this massive. There's a whole documentary that was done on it, and it's is it not Joanne Fish? Lord, forgive me for not remembering. But yeah, there's a whole documentary about how it started, and that she went back and found the survivors of this thing.
Yeah,
and they were trying to pull it back together and do a reunion of this show here in Memphis last October.
I think a bottle of hash for every show.
Yeah, well, you need.
I mean, that's just the way shows should start, right?
Well, sure. You know, you get a ball of hash, and away you go. You know,
a ball.
A ball. It's going to change the key.
It is. It's going to change the key a little bit.
Yeah. You know, there, right?
It's going to kind of drop it down just a hair.
Or maybe down. I don't know.
That's how John Namath has funded his European tour.
Hey, man, look, you know, I'm a guy on stage. Said, hold up a second, man. I want to try something. Let's do it in G. Yeah. Boy, you got fright coming from different people. Like, God damn.
Yep.
That's
yeah,
great.
That's true.
It's gonna it'll change keys.
We'll pause.
Obviously, a musician.
It will. It will. Yeah.
We'll be back in a bit. Can you hang for a little bit longer?
Yeah, let's you play some more music.
You want to play some more?
Yeah.
All right, great. We'll grab this break. We'll be back.
All right.
I think we lost Aubrey, but that's okay. Yeah. We got to run. We're about to wrap it up.
Aubrey,
here.
Aubrey's he's going down. He's going to be playing at the B side. That's that club at the Minglewood with Greg Fallis, who just
Greg
got
Fallis.
The. Job playing horn with the Glenn Miller Outer Ring, Glenn Miller Orchestra.
Oh, the Glenn Miller Orchestra.
And,
yeah.
And then Aubrey's playing at the with his band Outer Ring every Wednesday over there.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's good to know. Good.
Yeah. You know, and it's a trip to know that the Glenn Miller Orchestra still is a thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I saw them not long ago. Yeah. It's a machine.
Yeah.
It really is.
That's some great charts.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I went in my youth. I met the drummer for the original Harry James Orchestra, and that was a trip.
Harry James Orchestra
from the 1940s. The big band stuff with Glenn Miller and
okay.
Harry James and
when was this?
Benny Goodman. When I was a youngster, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I saw him perform, and it was something special. It really was.
I like that. I like a lot of that old stuff.
That big band sound from the 40s, you know, that Second World War stuff was, I think in my mind, it was kind of an interesting bridge between where rock and roll kind of ultimately wound up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the swing band stuff.
Sure.
So
right.
You were starting
swing
to see
R&B.
Some of the blues that was being transitioned
yeah.
a little bit into rock and roll because those big bands, and these were 14, 15-piece bands.
Who were some of the Memphis guys that were really the orchestras that were around here?
Well, of course, you have B.B. King was
–
he had a big band, and then, of course the guy that wrote it, the hell, he wrote Boss Crump. W.C. Handy had a big band. Yeah, that was
Memphis Blues.
Yeah, Memphis Blues. And well, for many, many years, the French thought that the song St. Louis Blues was the American national anthem. Because it was heard so much in France, and the French have this affinity to American music. They love it so much. And you're about to go play over there, of course.
Yes.
You've played it before, and they love Americans as it is. But you're going to walk out on stage and say, I'm a Memphis musician.
Oh, yes.
And they're gonna go nuts.
Yeah, it's great over there. I have such a wonderful time. And they have the audience over there. They really dig the music. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
And
say, because you're doing, 3 weeks, roughly?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw your list. Yeah, you're gonna be playing some fun places. So.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
So you're taking the whole band over there, or is it just you? Or?
Man, unfortunately, I'm using not unfortunately, but it's. I wish I could take the American band.
Yeah,
Memphis band.
So you got some guys over there that are gonna play for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
how
know,
does that
work? Really great.
How does that work? I mean, because they're not from here. I presumably Europeans. They're French for the most part. I know the French get it. Do you do any rehearsal beforehand and just say, hey, we're gonna do this? And do they get that Memphis sound? Do they understand that pocket, that rhythm, that what makes your music tick?
I think there's Memphis in everybody that plays anything like this kind of music.
So they're fans of it already. Yeah.
And I think you know every different person has his or her own, you know, Memphis thing that's in them.
Yeah.
And so I think we can all communicate really easily.
Yeah.
And we can go out and we can put on a great show. And these guys sing the harmonies and they learn all the songs and they knock it out.
Yeah.
And
And the French pay the artist too, which is nice. And that's
yeah.
You got to look at the business, man, of it too, man.
Because I tell you what, you know, yeah, I think, you know, when you're doing blues, it's not the easiest style of music to make a living at it.
No, it's not.
And
it's not necessarily a young man's game, but it is certainly a veteran's game. And you've got that, you know, you've been knocking around for a while now, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I just love it. I think it's amazing that you know, certain feel can just stand the test of time, and people all around the world can enjoy it.
Well, you certainly have done that, and we're mighty proud of you over here at Radio Memphis.
Well, thanks.
You know, we're proud to play your music. We're proud to have you here in our studio, and it's proud to know you. There's that old thing about, you know, meeting your heroes is a risky business because you find out that some may be, you know, unsavory, but you're a hero of mine, and I'm proud to say that I'm glad to know you.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate it.
If there's anything that we can do for you, you just pick up the phone and call us.
Well, this was a great call. I really appreciate y'all having us on.
And the Memphis Blues Society. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Mark Caldwell.
Yeah, Mark making it all happen tonight. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Natalie. Appreciate you.
In a couple of weeks, we're going to re-release this in the on-demand, so we'll get it to you so you can get your fans onto it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I've recorded every bit of this.
Oh, man. Oh, I want to hear it.
Yeah, you'll hear it. Yeah.
You want to read it?
And, just sit there and go, whoa, yeah.
When is it coming out?
In about 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
So we'll cut you loose. I know Aubrey had to split, and Willie's somewhere having a bite to eat. So.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you guys.
But thank you so very much, John. Best of luck to you for 2019. And, you know, next time you got the band back together here in town, you know, or you want to do that record, come see us. We'll do a thing down here. We're here for you, buddy.
Sounds great.
All right, buddy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Rick.
You bet.
Is this the control room?
This is the out of control room. The actual control room is over there. It's the one that you were going to go take a leak in.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the... That's Jason's office.
Oh, okay.
I'll show it to you here in a bit. It happens.
I appreciate it. I got to get you here's the key back.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to leave. Key. Yeah. I know.
That's Charlie Rich's key.
That was his key. Yeah. That was, the whole.
Charlie Rich didn't need a key.
It's his keychain.
My understanding is, and I've heard conflicting stories, but behind closed doors was either conceived here or recorded here. Oh. We think it was recorded in Nashville, but the demo tracks and his rehearsals were all done here.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he lived like right around the corner from here. And he would just, to get away from family and all that, he would just come down here. And this was called the Fox's Den. And he had a piano down here. And you can just imagine just sitting down here with that piano and a bottle of whiskey and just, you know, hanging out with Charlie.
The Fox Den. Has anybody write a song yet called The Fox Den?
Not that I know of. not that I know of. You could write it. The Fox's Den. You've been in it.
You've been in it.
You've been in it. You got a little bit on you, I think.
And you go back.
When you let your hair down, it's The Fox's Den.
We've been called worse things.
Yes, we have.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Don't. You're like, we'll save that one for later. Yeah. Bunch of drunken animals. Such as it is.
Oh, man.
John, thank you so very much, my friend.
Thank you.
Safe
so
travels
much.
To you.
And, I appreciate you guys.
Enjoy Europe.
Thank you. Yep, nice to meet you, too. Yeah.
Hi, this is Reverend Oma from the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop. The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical needs, such as candles, gemstones, herbs, gifts, and more. We now also stock CBD oil, vape kits, lotion, and edibles. The Broom Closet is also host to monthly workshops, rituals, and drum circles for those interested in conscious living. The Broom Closet is the only place to get your cards read by me, Reverend Oma, or one of our other amazing readers. Discover the Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop in historic downtown Memphis or online at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet. Let us help you light your path.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
That's all right, man.
Yeah, that's Wally Ford. Wally B. Ford.
Wally B. Ford. Our friend Pablo is tuned in from Cincinnati. Kieran Hilbert is listening in from Germany this evening. Melissa McGregor says, we love the Lizard Kings. We got the lizard fever.
Whoa, that's what it is. That's
love is what it's all about.
That's what it is. That's one of our taglines, you know, when we go out to different places.
And
we say, well, you know, we're community.
indicators of a rare disease, and it's called lizard fever. And we hope you all catch it.
Ain't no cure for it. You're gonna run that line at the IBC there when you come on stage.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. The only thing that soothes anything is just listening to the lizard.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
And there you go. Now you know what's coming up next time. It's our good friends from the Lizard Kings. We had a big time. We always have a big time with the Lizard Kings. They're a lot of fun. And they performed live in studio. We wish them well. The IBCs are coming up during that time. So that'll be big. We'll hopefully have some information for you to pass on next time. See? So there you go. Be sure and stick around for that one. Look for that show coming up next week. Same time, same usual locations. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find this show. It's just that easy. Also, I might want to recommend that you get on over to Podbean. That's where this show is actually hosted, podbean.com. They've got a free app for you. They got a ton of other shows, too. I highly recommend it, and I'll tell you why. The Apple version of the, for the iPhone, the app, the podcast app for Apple sucks giant donkey balls. It's absolutely horrendous. They made some quote-unquote improvements to the product, and it just sucks. It's horrible. So, if you're looking for a good podcast player, I suggest you get that one from Podbean. And they've got a ton of shows over there, too. So there's that, and enjoy it, and such as it is. Please share the show. Tell everybody you know about it, and we appreciate you doing that. And until next time, I got to go. Y'all take care of yourselves and take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.